Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's For Women. You are not 9 to 5 and neither are we. Conveniently open online 365 days per year, 24 hours per day.
Now, after five, not one, two, three or four, but five successive Paralympics and two medals, including gold at Tokyo, Ellen Keane has announced she's hanging up her goggles and she is retiring from competitive swimming. Ellen is on the line. Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm a little bit tired.
Oh, thanks for taking the call. You're so good.
No, that's okay. I mean, of course, got so excited when I heard we were having a chat.
Yes, we've met before many times, and I'm a big fan for loads of reasons, but let's just get Paris out of the way. Heartbreaking. You missed out on a medal. Fraction of a second. Were you gutted? We were gutted.
It was weird. It was like when I hit the wall and I turned around, it kind of takes a while to register the times that you see and the numbers that you see beside your name. So I was just a bit shook that it said four instead of one, two or three, just because I'd had those numbers beside my name for so many years. But like even as I was getting out of the water, I know people were expecting me to be absolutely heartbroken, but I didn't feel it. So when I got to Orty and I was talking to Orty post-race, like what I said was real. Like I really, 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 really tried and I gave it my all and it just didn't happen. And like I've been on the podium for so long, consistently so many years, and it just wasn't meant to be. And it kind of felt like a sign to me that, yeah, it's time. You don't owe anyone anything anymore. People can't question why you're retiring when you're still on top of the podium. Like it's time now. And it was a really lovely day as well, because Roisin won her first Paralympic medal and it kind of felt like passing of the guard or changing of the guard.
Oh, that's lovely.
Yeah, it really did. And I actually think it helped.
You're such a honey, Ellen. You really are. You just blow my mind. You're making me tear me up here. And you said, I've already done it and I've already made my peace with it. Your quote is a saying.
Yeah. And you know what? I think just the emotions of the whole experience was kind of what was kind of the thing that was making me cry. And I cried afterwards more so because it was over rather than I'd come forth and I saw my boyfriend straight away, and like I didn't feel like I could cry until I was with him. And then Roisin actually walked past me, and it was the first time I'd seen her since she'd gone and got her medal, because I was in the call room waiting to race when she was racing it, and that's where I saw her win. But she walked past me and I called after her and I ran after her, and she like hugged me, but she was looking at me so concerned, and because Roisin has come forth so many times as well, so she knew how it felt. And I literally looked at her and I was like, I'm okay, I promise I'm okay, and I want you to enjoy this. So like we had a lovely little moment too, but
wow.
Yeah, it's just in. And even like when I had put up my post, and before I'd put up my post the next day, the amount of love and support I have received has been incredible. And it really, like, I think I'm actually okay as well, because I just felt like the whole of Ireland was giving me one big hug. Because I felt like people know what it feels like to lose. And I think everyone could relate to that. And like, not a lot of people can relate to winning. And it's easy to celebrate a win, but I feel like the whole of Ireland were really, really quick to make sure that they looked after me after that race, which I really, really, really felt.
Yeah, but you've done the work. You've won gold. I mean, that does make the pinch a little easier, doesn't it? But I mean, you clearly have aligned it in your head, and it makes absolute sense for you. But I feel this year there was even, it just feels, maybe I was just more aware, but feels like there was a lot more attention this year to everything. Do you feel that?
Yeah, I felt it a lot more when I was watching the Olympics. And that's just because I was a spectator, I was a viewer, and I was caught up in all the social media aspect of it. But once I was in Paris and I was in the bubble, like you try to avoid it and you try to just stay in the bubble and stay in the world of sport And I actually didn't notice this. I only really noticed it when I came home because
yeah, it was huge. Yesterday, we were obsessed.
Yeah,
we were obsessed. Did you enjoy
yesterday
it?
It was probably like I keep getting asked what my favorite games was, and I honestly can't answer that because every game is a completely different experience. But I think Paris is the games that I definitely felt the most love from everyone. And just even in the stadium, there was loads of Irish fans, and I went out of the stadium a few times and met Irish people who I didn't know. Nobody actually knew who these people were, but they just came to support us, and that was really, really lovely.
Yeah, hats off to the fans who travelled. I mean, they were brilliant, and there was a lot of commentary about the fans and the support that people could hear and feel. It was, yeah, I actually know quite a few people who went to Paris. Did you go into the games now, forgive me for asking this question if you've answered it, knowing that you were going to, this would be your last?
Yeah.
You did.
Yeah.
You definitely knew that.
I knew,
years of age. I mean, it seems so harsh.
It's so long, though. Like, it's five cycles. A cycle is 4 years. So it's nearly been 20 years.
So you were in Beijing when you were 13.
Yeah.
Explain that to me. What was that like?
It kind of just felt like I was going to Disneyland, to be honest. Because I'd never been, like, I went from doing, like, club competitions and national competitions. I'd never done European championships or world championships. And I just happened to get the time for Beijing. So my first ever international big competition was the Paralympic Games. And I didn't know what that meant. And I just knew that I got to go to China, and I got to be with all the different sports, and I got to live in this weird village where everyone wore tracksuits from their own nations, and everything was free, and people loved to swap pins. Oh my God! I don't know if you know about the pin situation, swear to God, if I heard the word pin again, it's basically like the currency at the Olympics and the Paralympics. People are obsessed with getting every nation's pin. Oh. So it's like a collector's thing.
Like Taylor Swift's friendship bracelets.
Yeah. But like athletes only get a limited amount of pins. And usually like you kind of give them out in the first few days of the competition, but you literally get harassed. get harassed going. Even in the airport, you had people coming up to you asking for a pin and you're like, I'm really sorry, I don't have any.
Leave me alone.
Leave me alone. And then I kept giving because me and Nicole finished racing around the same time. And we would be walking around the village together. And Nicole had pins on her accreditation lanyard. And everyone kept stopping us. And I turned to her and I was like, they're stopping us because you have pins on your lanyard. Take them off.
So you were 13 in Beijing, but I've read you described Tokyo as the pinnacle of your career.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tell me about Tokyo quickly, because I just want to hear about winning gold. What was it like?
It was just like all the stars aligned. It was the perfect year of training. It wasn't the perfect preparation purely because of COVID and things like that. But it was like I get distracted by the shiny things. I'm like a magpie, and because of lockdown and COVID, like I couldn't get distracted. And we were put in a bubble, and we were the only thing that we could do was train. And we had the privilege of being able to train and leave our homes and all of that. So I think that's why I was able to do what I did in Tokyo, because I was just so focused. And then when I got to Tokyo, I just had all the confidence in the world because I had a great season. I knew I was swimming well, and I knew what I was capable of. And it was just so easy to show to win that gold because I had all of that confidence. And that's why I guess Paris was probably one of the hardest races ever, because I hadn't had the perfect preparation and I hadn't had the perfect lead up in terms of times that I was hitting. So I didn't have that confidence. So I just kind of had to, like I said this to Nicole, I was like, winning gold is the easiest thing I ever did. Coming fourth was the most hardest race ever. And it's probably, I probably tried harder in that race than I did for the gold medal. But when I finished and I won gold, it kind of just felt like I'd finally done what I knew I always could do, and I was really at peace with it, rather than I was absolutely over the moon thrilled. I did feel that, but it was really, really like a just a gentle peace. peace that I felt. It wasn't overwhelming at all.
Yeah, you sound very zen about the whole thing. So nobody was getting in your way for that flag bearer at the closing ceremony in Paris, though. I'm proud of that. It was amazing.
I was
screaming.
I was prepared to fight people for it.
I'm with you. I would have been your wingman for that one. Yeah. So tell me about flag bearing at the closing and as you know, your last games. How important was that to you?
Oh, like I wanted it so badly, and I knew when I got to the games, I was like, all I want from this games is to carry that flag. And NASA, who is our chef de mission, she's the one who decides who gets to carry it. And she told me 2 days before, I think, that I was going to have that honor, and I was going to have the honor with Michael as well. And it was just really, really lovely. It was the best way to finish it off. And me and Michael coming out of the stadium and up onto the
magic
stage. Look, it was like I felt like Taylor Swift looking around, because all of the crowd had like lights on, and it was just amazing. And then we didn't know where Team Ireland were, like we didn't have a clue where they were sitting or any of that. And it had been raining, so everyone was in ponchos and we couldn't really see the green. But as soon as we got onto the stage, we knew exactly where Team Ireland were, because they were the only country that were going absolutely mad and crazy and screaming and making sure that we could see them. So it was just such a magical moment. And we stopped on the stage and gave the flag a little wave just so that everyone could see that we could see them. And when we got off the stage and found the team again, just everyone was just so happy and full of love and hugging us and telling us what a great job we did. And I don't know, it's just so satisfying when you get told you carry the flag really well.
What's it feel like?
Carrying the flag?
Yeah.
It's a bit stressful. It's kind of heavy. And as you're walking, you're trying not to... You try not to drop it, but you're also thinking, I don't want the flag, because some people were carrying the flag and the flag was kind of getting a bit like droopy and you couldn't actually see the colours of the flag or anything. So I kept kind of like looking back and making sure that the green, white and orange were on show and it wasn't getting tangled. So it just felt like, OK, this is really important. We need to do a really good job here. And I think we did.
Oh, you did. And do you feel like, is your chest going to burst with pride?
Oh, God, like, honestly, absolutely. And even when we were in the queue for the buses to get to the closing ceremony, there was like volunteers were playing music from a speaker and they asked us if we wanted to play a song. So we played Zombie and everyone was just belting it out and all of the countries were just filming us all singing. And then again, after the closing ceremony, we all had a little party in the Australian house and they put Zombie on again and all the Irish were singing it and everyone was singing it with us. And I just felt really, really proud. I think like we did such a good job. Everyone on that team did such a good job at just supporting each other, no matter how your performances went. Like, I think everyone felt like they won a gold medal while we were over there because of how great our team were at supporting. And people who finished early made sure that they came to every other event and everyone knew everyone's name. And yeah, it was a really special team that was over there.
And I think that translated subliminally through the screens to us. We could see the support. We really could. We could feel it. And it was a really special time for Ireland. I'd really think that. Do you think the Paralympics has broken through in terms of increased visibility for the Games?
Yeah, 100%.
Oh, good.
I think it has. I think we're finally on an even playing field. And I think people are demanding more. And like, we may not have gotten the exact same coverage as the Olympics, which was a little bit disappointing to see. But I did see online people demanding more and people asking, why can't we watch the Paralympics right now? So that was really, really great to see. And hopefully now for LA, it will be 50-50. It will be the same amount for both.
So on that, will you be covering LA in some way? What's next for you? What's the plans? I'm just pitching you in here now. Go for it.
I'd love to. Like,
yes.
That would be my dream now. And I think watching David Gillick do such a good job at the Olympics, like, I met him over in Paris as well. And I said it to him, I was like, I just want to be the female version of you for the Paralympics. So
the country has heard that and off their hat. Absolutely.
Yeah, I would absolutely love to. And I think, you know, I think it's really, really, like, every time I got out of the race, I saw Eamon Horan, and I've seen him so many times for so many different games and we kind of have a special bond. So it was really nice that he was there after every one of my races. But I think there's also something really special about an athlete interviewing who has done it and who knows what 100%. You're feeling and knows what you've gone through. So yeah. I want to be that person.
You will be, for sure, 100%. Ellen King, always a charm. Best of luck in the future. Mm-hmm. And we were so proud of you. Thank you so much for taking our call this morning.
Thank you so much, guys.
Now rest up.